for Jesus 24/7. We have Christ in us, the Spirit in us. And so we are on call for Him. And when we have this attitude that as we're going about our days, as we go get our coffee, as we go to work, as we go to school or university, that we are on call for Jesus, and there are opportunities that God will put in our paths that we are to preach the word, that we are to speak into people's lives and share the gospel. In verse 2, Paul encourages and urges Timothy to preach the word of God, to be prepared whether the time is favourable or not, to patiently correct, rebuke and encourage your people with good teaching. This word preach means to proclaim, to publicly declare, to speak forth. And when we think of this word preach, it's not just talking about, you know, preaching in this format, but it's actually speaking the word of God to people so that they hear His word, so that they hear the good news. The word preach carries a sense of urgency, of importance, a necessity. And we know when the Apostle Paul was writing this letter to Timothy, he wasn't sure whether the church would actually continue, and there was such urgency and a plea to Timothy to keep preaching the word, to keep speaking the word of God to people so that the church would continue. And who is the word? Well, the word is Jesus. Jesus is whom we preach. Jesus is whom we proclaim, and Jesus is whom we declare publicly. And we are to be prepared at all times, whether the time is favourable or not, you know, in all seasons, whether no matter what you're going through, we are to be prepared to speak His word to people. We are to be prepared in season and out of season, when life is going well, when you may be discouraged, when life is difficult, when people are in a place to receive the word of God or not, it doesn't matter. We're just to be prepared to share the word. Who of you is very organized and prepared? Ah, oh, Andrew, yes, Susan, very good. Raphael, awesome. We have a saying in our house that if it wasn't for the last minute, nothing would get done, which is applicable to myself. But, you know, I have learned that it's better to be prepared and to be organised, and there's much more benefits when we are able to do that rather than leaving things to the last minute. You know, we are good at being prepared for work. We are good at being prepared to coming to church and to serving and to, you know, going to study and you know, we're good at doing these things. I remember when I had just had Samantha. This was our third child. She was 2 days old, and going from two children to three children is a big adjustment. And so she was born on the Monday. We were home on the Tuesday, and on the Wednesday, Shekinah, our eldest daughter, had a dance lesson. And so I was like, you know what, I'm going to nail this. I'm going to be so prepared. I'm going to be on this, you know, with our family. And so was able to be organised and fed all the children and got them dressed and packed the car up with our new pram and a change bag. I had extra clothes for Samantha, extra nappies, extra clothes for me in case there's accidents. And Shekinah's in the car, Steffi's in the car, I'm all ready to go. And I said to Richard, oh, I just felt so pumped. I felt like I just really nailed this thing, you know, like new mum of three children and all organised and prepared, ready to go. And so I'm saying this to Richard, and he's like, yep, that's all good. And he said, have you forgotten anything else? Is there anything else that you need to bring with you? I'm like, no, I've got everything, I'm all organised. And he said, so where's Samantha? So I had failed to put the newborn baby into the car. She was in the change table, I think. You know, sometimes we forget the most important things. Sometimes we forget what is the most important. And when Paul was writing to Timothy, we know that he was going to be facing death. And so this letter is writing about the things that are most important and how we need to remember that we are here as Inami was saying before, we're here because we are answered prayer. We each have a testimony of what God has done in our lives, of how we have heard the word of God being preached to us. And this is the most important thing that we need to be sharing and giving to others so that they can receive the gift of salvation, so that they can be on the incredible journey of knowing the love of God. Preaching the word is the most important thing. And how do we do it? Well, it's easy. Over the last few weeks, we've been giving you, just drawing out things from this letter to Timothy, and if the AV team could show that second slide, or the third slide, I should say, that just has the things that we've been covering. There you go. So what we've covered is, you know, how do we be prepared so that we can preach the word? Well, it's trusting God with your whole life. It means that you are being teachable, you're learning from the word, you're in the word, and you're teaching others. It means that you are being strong through God's grace. You are being like a soldier, an athlete, and a farmer. You are training your faith muscles like an athlete to obey his word. You sacrifice your time and resources like a good soldier. You invest into trustworthy people's lives and work hard so that you will see the good harvest like a farmer. You are being in his word, in prayer and in his presence. As you spend time allowing the Holy Spirit to bring revelation from reading his word for you personally, you know, he will correct you, he will teach you, he will train you in righteousness so that you're being more and more transformed into his image, into the likeness of Christ. And so as we do these things, then it's easy to preach the word, to share the word with people. And it happens so naturally. And we need to be prepared for every situation and circumstance. A couple of weeks ago on a Saturday morning, I received a message from a friend who used to be part of our campuses, and then she moved to about an hour away, and so she was fellowshipping somewhere else. And she sent me this message. She said, look, I know it's your day off, but I'm stuck in Sydney and I just really need to talk to you. And so I called her straight away and had a conversation with her, and her faith, she was very discouraged. She was extremely discouraged and very at a low point in her faith. And she was stuck in Sydney because she was constantly being rejected for a visa approval to go to the States to be with her husband and her mother-in-law, who was dying of cancer. And so I was able to pray with her, and I was able to instill faith back into her and encourage her and say things like, your God is for you, where I'm going to stand in faith with you, even though right now you are so discouraged and you don't have faith in what God can do in this situation, I'm going to stand with you. I'm going to pray for you. And we're going to believe that you will get this visa. We're going to believe that against all odds, that God will provide the way, because he can do that. He is your God. And so we did that, and I just encouraged her to keep praying, keep trusting God with this situation. I was able to write a letter to help with the application, and a few days later, she sends me a message, got the approval, flying out Tuesday, and praise God, you know, her faith was so cemented again, because she knew she could trust God for every situation and circumstance. But do you know what? I could have easily said, well, it is my day off, and, you know, I'll talk to you the next day, or I'll talk to you on the Monday. But no, I want to be prepared for every situation that comes my way. I want to be able to be the vessel that God has, you know, allowed me to speak into people's lives and to encourage them in their faith and to preach the word. I have so many stories of people don't know what's on the other end of the phone. I've had another situation where a young mum called me and, again, needed encouragement in her faith. And little did she know that I was on the way to hospital with one of our children, because she was very dehydrated from a gastro. And, you know, I just smile because people don't realise what may be happening for you. But that doesn't matter. because as we step out in faith, as we are just willing to be the person who can preach the word, who can encourage people, as we sacrifice our time, as we put aside the things that we may be contending with, that God honours that. And God will meet those people where they are at. And God will use you as a way to bring the word of God to people. I love how in Exodus we read about Moses, how he goes up to the mountain. He goes up to the mountain quite a few times and he is in the presence of God. There's one occasion where he's in the presence of God for 40 days and 40 nights. And God imparts the law, God imparts the word, God imparts incredible things for Moses to bring to the Israelites, to teach them and to show them how to live. And so we read in Exodus 24 verse 12, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Come up to me on the mountain and be there, and I will give you tablets of stone and the law and commandments which I have written, that you may teach them.'" Moses was in the presence of God, the glory of God. You know, the glory of God is described like a consuming fire. And as he went up the mountain, and I have this sense that, you know, Moses going up the mountain, there's a struggle, you have to work to get up the mountain to be in the presence of God. That as he did that by faith, that God imparted incredible things to him to teach to the Israelites and to lead the people. I know when I want to have significant times of hearing his voice, that I will go far away. I will go to the hills. We don't have mountains here, but I will go to the hills and I will climb up as high as I can. And in those places, I can meet God in incredible ways. His creation just allows us to be much closer to him in other circumstances that we may be. And in Mark 1:35, this is Jesus. Jesus, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. And we read on that, you know, the people that he was with were trying to find him. They couldn't find him. And at last they found him. They're like, "Where did you go?" And we read in verse 38 to 39, Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also. That is why I have come." So he travelled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. So we see how Jesus took himself to a solitary place. He took himself to a quiet place where he could be with the Father, to commune with the Father, to pray, to be in his presence. And then after that, we know that he says, "And now I need to go to this place." So he hears the voice of his Father of what to do next. What is your will? And he goes and preaches and he casts out demons and he heals people. It's the same for you and I. We each have the Spirit of God in us. And as we are spending time with our Father God, as we are spending time in his word, that we will hear his voice. We will hear his will. We will hear those people that only you can reach with the gospel. And that he will give you the ability, the words to speak, to preach, to bring people to salvation. Where's your solitary place where you go to be with the Lord, to be in his presence, where you receive his word, where you read his word, where you can listen to his voice? In 2 Timothy 4 verse 5, Paul says, "But you should keep a clear mind in every situation. Don't be afraid of suffering for the Lord. Work at telling others the good news and fully carry out the ministry God has given you." You know, we know that Paul suffered incredibly in being imprisoned and then executed, and Timothy suffered the similar fate. And for us, our suffering may be emotional or physical or, you know, some other suffering, I don't know, but But that's okay. We don't need to be afraid of that. In fact, we should be embracing that and allowing us to be strengthened by God's grace. So whilst we may experience suffering for a little while, as we come back into his presence, he strengthens us by his grace. Suffering is a part of speaking his word to people. So go for it in a way that you are fully carrying out the ministry of sharing the gospel. Each one of you have been given the assignment to share the gospel with other people. If I can invite the worship team up, that would be fantastic. And I just think of the sacrifices that we make to bring the word to you, and the hours of prayer, the hours of preparation and research, and just even praying for all of you that you would receive this word, that you would be encouraged, that you may even be convicted this morning to go and act, to go and spend more time in his word, or to be having the confidence or the boldness or the courage to share the gospel with someone. That would be my prayer, that as Paul was writing to Timothy, that Timothy would be spurred on, he would be urged on to keep preaching the word, to keep encouraging people in their faith, that you would have that same conviction and passion and desire. We're not to be complacent about our salvation. And God gives us an incredible encouragement with the last couple of verses in this, the middle of this chapter, verses 6-8, where Paul says, "As for me, my life has already been poured out as an offering to God. The time of my death is near. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race, and I have remained faithful. And now the prize awaits me, the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on the day of his return. And the prize is not just for me, but for all who eagerly look forward to his appearing." Paul gave his all for God the Father. Paul poured out his life for the gospel because he knew that God had poured out his life for him. And that the reward for that is a crown of righteousness. This crown that is mentioned in the scripture, it talks about the crown that is won in the cultural times of those days through wrestling and national games that were played. But the crown of righteousness that we can look forward to, the reward is righteousness itself. That is our reward. The reward is that God has wanting us to bring us to himself. We know that God the Father, Jesus his Son, who is God, Holy Spirit, who is God, they all share in the love and the glory and honor to one another, that sharing of honoring one another, of loving one another. And they have so much love to give that they poured out all of their love to us so that we could be with him, that we could be brought back to himself, to God the Father. And Paul writes, you know, "I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, and I have remained faithful." And my encouragement to you this morning is for you to keep fighting the good fight, to keep fighting the good fight like a good soldier, to finish the race well, and to remain faithful to his word, to your God, to carrying out the ministry that he has for you in preaching the word to the people that God has entrusted to you. Church, can you stand this morning? God has prepared a crown of righteousness for each one of you, a reward in recognition of what you are doing, what you have done for him. And we can look forward to when the great shepherd appears, that you will receive that crown of never-ending glory and honor. that he has generously poured out the Spirit upon you through Jesus Christ our Saviour. Because of his grace, he made you right in his sight and gave you confidence that you will inherit eternal life.